So, we are less than 1 week away from Christmas. Anybody else crazy excited about that? Yeah? Yeah, kind of? And that, even if it's not maybe for Christmas itself, but kind of what comes like after Christmas, summer? Yeah? People excited about that? Yeah? Yeah? Awesome, awesome. Who's felt like it's been a long winter this year? Yeah? Who's ready for the sun? Who's ready for the beach? Yeah, come on. Yep. Awesome. How crazy, though, is it to think that today is the last Sunday that we're going to be gathered here like this for 2015? Like, just stop and think about that. How crazy is it to think that this is the last time that we're going to be gathered here in this backspace like this for 2015? And how amazingly faithful our God has been. Why don't you just turn to those beside you and just say, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. Awesome. Before we go any further, I actually just want to take time to thank God for his faithfulness this year. And faithfulness is this. It is very different from when life is easy. I think that we can often confuse those things that go, oh man, it's been like a really good year. It's been an easy year. It's been a nice year. And we equate that to God's faithfulness. But right now, I would challenge that and just say that it's actually in the hardships of life. It's in those hardships and it's those ill experiences and those kind of things that we experience the faithfulness of God. And that God has been faithful to us as a family, as a church this morning. And he has come through with his promise yet again, another year over. And he has built up his church. He has built you guys up. He has built me up. He has encouraged us. He has strengthened us. He has stretched us. He has grown us. We have a faithful God. A faithful God who's never going to give in and never going to give us up. And so right now, I just want to just thank God for all that he has been doing this year. And as a church, I just want to say, guys, will you join me in that? Yeah? Oh, okay, cool. Murray's joining me. Awesome. How about we just stand? Because I think the greatest way of God showing his faithfulness to us is this, that we can stand in his grace. If it is that thing alone, God has been faithful and we can praise him for that. And so as we stand, I just thought it would be such a cool thing to do as a church family this morning to literally stand, but also in our hearts to acknowledge that the only reason we stand, the only reason we actually breathe in this moment is because of God's grace and his grace upon grace. And he lavishes it on us. So let's just thank him for what he has done. Lord, we just praise you, God, for this year. Lord, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, Lord, to us. That, yeah, this year it's been hard. This year, at times, there has been sickness and there's been frailty and there has been weakness. There's also been tragedy, God. But in amongst all of that, God, you have been so incredibly faithful. And we just thank you now as a church. Lord, we want to be known in the city as a church that is thankful for what you are doing, God. And so, Lord, I just ask that at the end of this year, Lord, and as we go our separate ways as a family, Lord, that you would just be stirring up in us through your spirit an appreciation, God, for what you are doing, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see what we cannot see as you move and as you stir and as your power is at work in us, God. So thank you, Jesus. We love you. We are yours. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, family, for joining me in that. So this Sunday is also our final Sunday in our Christmas series, Winter's End. We just like in the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is where we've been a lot of this past series, Aslan, the main character, arrives in Narnia to break the curse of a never-ending winter so that Christmas could come. Just like how In the Bible, Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to break the curse of sin and to defeat death, which is what we celebrate at Christmas time. It's almost like, how would you say? It's almost like so that Christmas could come to us. It's cool, eh? That Jesus came so that Christmas could come to us. The fact that what we celebrate here and now and in this season is because of what Jesus has done. I just love that thought. And so far this series, we have covered two main points really quickly, skimming over them. The first week, we looked at how Christmas is a season of hope because Jesus came. And when there is hope, we celebrate. And when we celebrate, it takes our eyes off the things that are going wrong in our world or the things that aren't going as we feel they should be. And it takes that downcast look and it takes it and it points it up to the one who is over all things. And all of a sudden we realize that these things aren't actually as big as we thought they were because we are seeing and staring at someone who is actually a whole lot bigger. It's a good word. There is power in celebration. God commands it of his church. He calls us to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise because he knows when he does, his church looks at him, not at itself. Last week, we looked at how Christmas is also a season of peace because of why Jesus came, that after living a perfect life, he died for you and I. And 3 days later, rose again in victory. And in that moment, the curse was broken and death was slain. And we looked at how Christmas is a season of peace. And we can experience this peace, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the truth that Christ has done it all for us. And this is where we ended it last week. It was on this thought that it is not the believer's responsibility to make peace with God or to keep peace with God, but to enjoy the peace of God. That is a good word. It is a good word. And this last week has been crazy. I mean, like, we all know what it's like at the end of the year when you're trying to get, like, all of the things that you should have done during the year done in the last 2 weeks of the year. Yeah, there's been a little bit of that this week. But in all of that, I have been so thankful that the peace that I get to experience is not a result of what I have to conjure up between me and God. And I don't even have to keep that peace. But that is God's job. He made the peace and he keeps the peace. And he just calls me to enjoy the peace, to delight in him and what he has done for me. To sit in his presence and experience him. Christmas is a season of hope because Jesus came, and a season of peace because death's rule was slain. And this week, we are going to look at how Christmas is also a season of new life. Everybody say new life. New life. New life. Awesome. You're with me. And because of what Jesus has done, true love can now reign in our hearts. But the question that comes out of all of this is, how does this become reality and not just remain an ideology? When Christmas can be so dysfunctional, how do I experience this hope? When Christmas can be so demanding, how can I experience this peace? And when Christmas can be so draining, how do I experience this life? And so this morning, I want to take us to a passage of Scripture that probably has been the most shaping for me this year. God led me to it at the start of the year. And time again, he has pointed me back to it. It's just, it's become like almost precious to me this last year. And so as I was thinking about where we would land, and as I was talking to God about it, I really felt like he was encouraging me or calling me to like share what he has been doing in me. And this morning is a lot of me testifying to the to God's goodness and faithfulness. And so as I share this, and I'm so excited to share this, because it's personal, it might get personal. Is that all right, guys? And you know that at the best of times, I'm emotional. Yeah, so just excuse me, okay? Because this is genuine. This is me. This is the walls down. The passage that God led me to at the start of the year is actually really well known, but it's more the journey that he's been bringing me through in this particular passage, and it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. And so if you have your Bible, open up to it. It's up on the screen as well for those of you who don't have a Bible or a tablet or something to open it up on. Starting from verse 14, it says this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Paul's prayer here is that out of God's unlimited resources, his glory, his riches, and his power, that those he was writing to, and to you and I today, we're included in this particular verse. It says, "and with all the Lord's holy people." And in the Greek, that's an inclusive word in terms of, yes, the people he was writing to, but also to the people that would come from those people that he was writing to. This is an inclusive text for you today. And Paul's praying here that out of God's unlimited resources, that we would know God's love more and more, which goes beyond our ability to understand. Paul puts it this way: "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge." And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, to know something that goes beyond your ability to know it. How does that even work? I mean, that's one of the main things that hit me at the start of the year, that I was reading that Paul was praying that God's holy people to the church in Ephesus and to you and I today would know something that we couldn't fully know. And it got me thinking, how does that even work? In this sentence, we have two words that both can be translated from the Greek as know or knowledge, but both have a very different meaning. Is that the first word this morning that we're going to look at, for all you Greek buffs out there, and I know we've got a lot here, is enosko. Enosko. Say enosko. Enosko. You look at it and you go, "Dave, that's a j. Genosko." It's not, trust me. I looked on Google. It was henosko, okay? Which is to know firsthand and personally, to experience intimately. It's this growing and deepening understanding that comes from personally experiencing it for oneself. And the second word that Paul uses for know is gnosis. Say gnosis with me. Gnosis. Man, you guys should be Greek scholars. Which is this functional working knowledge and applied knowledge. And the cool thing with the word gnosis in the Greek is that it is only as accurate or reliable as the relationship that it derives from. Really interesting. It is only as accurate or reliable as the relationship that it derives from. And so when Paul says, know this love that surpasses knowledge, which is gnosis, he's saying the only way you can knowledge this love, the only way that you can fully start to grapple with it in your mind is when you first experience it. A personal and intimate experience. I'll put it this way, and for me, as I've been wrestling with, well, how does that even work? Is that like even a thing? I was thinking about it this way, that God longs for us to know that he loves us. He longs for us to know that, but also to know that in our hearts that he loves us. And so God is about proving that. Like, God actually proves himself. Like, he actually shows us that we can trust him when he says, I love you. That we can trust him around that. That's pretty cool. Think about it this way, though. For example, if I was to take Marcus onto a bridge and say, bro, I've just recently got my bungee jump license and I've got all the gear. I've invested into it heavily. I want to, like, throw you off this bridge and give you a pretty cool experience. Marcus would have to take me on my word, yes? But he'd still say no, apparently. So much trust in this friendship. So he would have to take me on my word. Now, something that I could do to prove that he can trust my word is for me to strap myself up first and then go for it. And it's the same thing with the love of God, that he proves day in, day out, moment by moment, that he loves us. And so to know this love that surpasses knowledge, as you start to look at it that way, it begins to make just a bit more sense. And I love the way that it is put in the New Living Translation. It's going to come up on screen. It says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. May you experience the love of Christ. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. God's love is infinite. It has no end. And so for us to ever think we have got to the end of God's love in our knowing is a major mistake. An even bigger mistake is to think that we have got to the end of his love and he cannot love us anymore. If God's love is infinite, it has no end. It means there is nowhere you can go where he does not love you with a furious, crazy, all-consuming, passionate love. So as I was learning this over this year, I wondered to myself what it looked like for me to put this into practice in my own life. And how? And how do I even do that? If I wanted to know in a greater way God's love for me, the fullness of life and the power that comes from God, but all of that was beyond my ability to even understand, what did I need to do? Are you getting this wrestle that was kind of going on in me over this year? That here I am, longing to experience or to know this love that God has for me, and also that the completeness and the fullness and the power that comes from knowing that love. And then I look at it and it goes, but it's beyond your knowing, Dave. And over this year, I've gone, what do I need to do? The only thing, though, that I could see was that this was a prayer. This was a prayer of Paul's, to the church in Ephesus, but also for you and I. A request, something for God to do. And so I've been praying this over this last year, as often as I have remembered or was reminded to. And this is something that I've tried to daily, if I could remember to do it, pray a line, something really similar to this, that God would show me his love and enable me to experience it in a deeper way. And literally, that is sometimes the only thing I've had time for in my day, or it's felt like I've only had time for that in my day. And so in that one breath, I've just gone, God, show me your love and help me to experience it in a deeper way today. And you know what? That was it. That's literally all I did out of this passage. But it has radically and dramatically changed my experience of God, but also my knowledge of God, who I know him to be. That he is faithful, that he is good, and that he is God. And I would only have ever come to know that more out of his love for me and his work in me and his spirit stirring in me. It was up to God to do this. And what I have learned is that God so wants to lavish his love on us and for us to experience him in that way. Because when we do, we are being, and I love how the NLT puts it at the end, when we do, we are being made more complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I realized this year that if I wanted to experience the life of God or God's life in me, if I wanted to experience the power of God or his power in me, I needed to first be open to his love. That's it. I can't go any deeper because it's that simple. I don't have anything more. All I have is a year to look back on where I can go, I have seen the faithfulness of God more this year than any other year. Where I have seen, I have experienced the peace of God this year more than any other year. His joy, I have experienced it in greater ways than any other year this year. And it was as simple as opening myself up to experiencing his love. Jesus came to bring an end to an endless winter, and he continues to be about ending winter seasons in our life. That is a really important thing to remember. Yes, Jesus came to end winter, to break the curse, and to defeat death. Yes, he did that. But he continues to be about ending winter seasons in our lives. Those parts of our lives that feel old and cold, if not dead. He longs to breathe new life into those areas of our world that we thought were long past it, where we had not experienced the power of God in a long time. At Christmas and in life, we celebrate because there is a hope not dependent on circumstance. There is a peace not dependent on me. And there is a fullness of life not dependent on my striving. And it is all found in Jesus, who came not so that we would have to strive, but came so that we could thrive, having experienced these things in him as he works in us. Now, it would be a lie to say that the passage of Ephesians 3, 14 to 19 is where God has been teaching me big things. No. There's two more verses, guys. for all of you who are already in Scripture going, Dave, but what about these verses? We're getting there. Verse 20 of Ephesians 3 says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask, or than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than I would dare to ever dream of, to ask of, or even imagine to ask of God, he is at work. His power is at work in me, doing immeasurably more than what I haven't even thought to ask. Even before I asked it, God's doing it. And then again, I go back to God is faithful, and he is proving it. This series, I want to pose one question to wrap things up, and it is this. What winter seasons in your life, those parts of your world that feel cold and old, if not dead, what winter seasons in your life does Jesus want to draw to an end? Those dreams that you have had, that you long let go of, because of circumstance or something happening, that calling that you felt on your life 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago that you let go of because of something that happened in your life. Those areas of your world that you have thought were long shut off to God and that he would never want to look at them. What are those areas of your life that Jesus wants to draw to a close, to breathe new life, to reinvigorate, and to see you grow in those things? It's easy to look back, or it's easier, should I say, to look back and go, God has been faithful. I thank you, God, for what you have done. The challenge this morning is to not only thank God for what he has done, but what he promises to do. Our God is a God of promises, and he so desires to bring new life, to bring hope, to bring peace, to bring joy, for us to experience his love in a deeper way. And we can thank him for that. Now, we actually can have an expectation of our God. Think of that. What is the last thing you expected God to do in your life? For some of you, that question is very real because you're thinking, I'm expecting something right now because things are pretty crazy right now. And to you this morning, I would say, stop, take a step back, and start at his love. Opening yourself up to that first. Because in that, you will, because he promises, you will experience the fullness of God and the power of God in your life in a way that you never thought possible. Not even dared to dream. This morning, what I'm saying to you might sound one of two things, hard or airy-fairy. But to that I would say, do we not believe that nothing is impossible for God? Because if nothing is impossible for God, it means that everything is possible for God. And he is powerful, and he is mighty, and he is the king. He is the creator, giver of life, sustainer of life, breather of new life. What do I need to do to experience that? The one thing I have done this year was take a step back and let God love me. And it has changed everything. Dave, where to from here? Wow, fortunate for you guys, I have three easy steps. Not really. Where to from here? Three things. This summer, take time to be in God's presence. For some of us here, this is going to be the last time that we see one another in a context like this, 2 and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And that is going to get hard if you are not in his presence and you are not letting him love you. So let him love you. And don't enter his presence thinking that you've got to add up. You don't already add up. I don't add up. Things don't add up. God's kingdom is one that is really on its head. It doesn't make sense. God just says, come, be in my presence. Let me love you, and you will experience my fullness and my power. Second thing, not third thing. We have these cards here. And this is really just a rewrite of Ephesians that I did it. And it's something that I pray through. And so, if you're not too sure even where to go from here, or even how to do that, it is as simple as a prayer. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It literally can be read off a card. But if you pray this prayer, know this. This is a disclaimer. If you pray this prayer, you are going to experience God in your life in a way that you have never, ever, ever done so before. Because he is so ready to answer this prayer. And the third thing this morning is something we can do right now. And that's what we're going to do. We have communion that our amazing creative team, and when I say amazing creative team, I want to do a shout out right now to those people that have worked so hard and tirelessly on this series. I mean, every week for us to walk into like Narnia and a different aspect of Narnia, and as I've talked about where I'm going with what I'm teaching, they've gone away and they've come back and they've gone, well, this is what we're thinking. And I've gone, oh my gosh, you've thought that up? That is amazing. And so we have an amazing team of technicians that have been faithfully serving up the back. We have had musicians faithfully serving over the last few weeks up front, but we also have had creative people coming in really early, like 6 o'clock early some Sundays, and setting things up. And so, guys, I know you're here. I can't see you all right now. Thank you for setting this up. We are so appreciative of it. But coming back to communion, this is just a really easy way of us just reminding us to sit in God's presence, to remember what he has done for us, and to thank him for what he is going to do in us. Don't ever forget to do the latter. Thankfulness starts before it happens, not after. And so the band is going to come up. They're going to play some music to accompany us as we come up and we take communion. And it's not a forced thing. Come up and take it if you want to. But there's also like chocolate really dark chocolate by the looks of it. There's fruit, there is nuts, there are other things up here. And a part of this morning, because we're going our separate ways, is I thought it'd be really cool that if you wanted to this morning, to grab a couple of people that are around you. This is only if you want to. And there are boards on the floor, either side of these tables, to grab it and to have communion together and to pray for one another as we head into summer. For whatever it is that we're needing prayer for, but also that God would just be teaching us over this summer as a church how much he loves us. Because how cool would it be to come back in 2016 and to start hearing the stories of how God moved in our lives and we experienced his love and we witnessed his faithfulness. How cool would it be to start there in 2016? Not looking back, but looking forward. Because we have a big God, a strong God, an almighty, powerful God. And he is doing a work in his church. And so we praise him. So family, come up, come as you are. Take communion on your own. Take it as a group. Move the chairs around. Do what you need to do. This is your time. Enjoy, family. And remember that God loves you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come into your presence. Lord, we acknowledge that the only reason we can do that is because of what you did on the cross, God, that you saved us. That you saved us not just from a winter that was cold and nasty. You saved us from eternal separation from you, God. And we can't forget that. Lord, you've drawn us in. And we thank you. And now as we remember you and we thank you and we celebrate what you have done for us as we take communion, God, meet with us. Holy Spirit, fill us. God, work in us. Thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do in these next moments. In your mighty and precious name, in the name of our awesome Savior Jesus.